You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We are talking strategy when it comes to drafting the DH spot. We're ranking outfielders and covering the latest Major League Baseball news. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball.
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show presented by Belly Up Fantasy Sports, Righteous Felon Jerky, and the one and only SeatGeek as well. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful Sunday evening as we come to wrap up our player rankings heading into draft season. Next week, live, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on the Belly Up YouTube page, the Sports Stove YouTube page, and the Belly Up Fantasy Facebook page, we are going to bring you our fantasy baseball draft, our Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show League. It comes into year number 3, and so we're going to bring the draft live. We'll comment throughout the draft. We'll invite members from the league on to talk about kind of what they're thinking as they draft and things of that nature as well. Of course, before we can draft, though, we've got to rank players, and we have been through all of the rankings with the exception of outfield, and today we will do that here in about 20 minutes or so. We'll get to the outfield rankings, and we'll look at five different tiers of players plus some cautionary tales and guys you should be looking to get because of the value and all of those things as well. I will be joined later in the program by Kevin Wilson. He is on his way home from work right now. So when he gets here, we'll bring him on to the show. But the show must go on. So we're starting off today's show with our first segment we call the Fantasy Burner. The Fantasy Burner segment is presented by SeatGeek. Are you wanting to attend a ball game this year? Well, you need to go get your tickets, and the best way to get them is through SeatGeek.com, and the most affordable way to get them is to use the code BellyUpSports at checkout. If you go to SeatGeek.com, find the tickets that you're looking for, enter that code BellyUpSports, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Again, that's SeatGeek.com, and the promo code BellyUpSports there at checkout. Today, I wanted to look at designated hitters. Not every fantasy baseball league holds a designated hitter spot. The utility spot is just as good, if not better, than the DH spot. But in our league, we do have a DH spot, and I know there are DH spots around the world. So I wanted to talk briefly about the strategy about drafting your designated hitters. There are a few players that are only eligible at the designated hitter spot, which really stinks, honestly, because that means you can only put them in that DH spot or that utility spot. And so overall, I believe my personal philosophy is you don't draft a DH. You just draft guys who are eligible to DH. So there is a whole lot of players who are position eligible somewhere as well as DH eligible. Shohei Ohtani is the one exception to this. You can draft Shohei Ohtani, and he will fill that spot for you, the DH spot or the utility spot, of course, as well. But ultimately, I like to find what I call DH plus spots, where they're eligible at third base, first base, outfield, whatever it may be, catcher. There's a lot of different people out there. There are some DH only guys that are to a degree worth drafting, I suppose. But Shohei is by far the only guy that is a clear cut, got to go get him kind of player. Eloy Jimenez this year is DH only eligible, which to me drops his value incredibly. I don't think that I can draft him because, first of all, he's not going to give you a full slate of games, more than likely. He has not anytime recently. So there goes that. If you can't put him in the outfield also, it takes all the versatility away, and it makes it really hard to have him on your team. Byron Buxton this year is a DH-only person, at least in ESPN leagues. Not to say that he may not garner outfield at some point this season once he plays enough games there, but DH is where he is listed at right now, and only DH. Let's see here, Marcelo Zuna from the Braves. He's a guy who bats fifth in the order. He'll float around a little bit between third, fourth, and fifth, and obviously had a great year last year. Marcelo Zuna is never going to be on my roster. I think he's a horrible human being and want absolutely nothing to do, even though fantasy is not real. I don't want him on my team, but maybe you do. He's a DH guy. And again, his fantasy value, he's got some fantasy value there at DH. And Joey Meneses from Washington is the other guy that I've got on my list of DH guys that are worth keeping an eye on. But ultimately, I want to find the guys who have multiple positions along with DH. Your top guys, Aaron Judge, Jose Ramirez, Jordan Alvarez, Adley Rutschman, Bryce Harper. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there right now. Vlad Guerrero, Kyle Schwarber, let's see here, Manny Machado, Goldschmidt, Springer, Yelich, Santander, Yoshida. There's a ton of guys on the list that you can draft and play in multiple positions, as well as DH, and that's what you should be looking for in your DH spot. Fill it up with something that you can actually use outside of just the DH, and you're going to be looking for a couple of these guys. You're going to want to find at least two guys, if not more, and more than likely, you're going to end up with at least two guys, if not more, that have DH eligibility. And but you want to make sure you got some guys that you can move around a little bit, and it really helps you out with the waiver wire as well as you get guys injured. Things like that, where you can put a guy at DH and go claim an outfielder and open up that outfield spot. Those kinds of things like that are very, very useful. If all you have is the DH spot, a Shohei Ohtani, a Jimenez, a Buxton, a Nozuna, a Meneses, well, then if you get a guy injured in the outfield, you're kind of stuck where you are limited to your options of who you can go get at that point. So it's worth taking note. A strategy. And then again, maybe your strategy is you want to get the best in the position. And if you don't get Shohei, then you're looking down a little ways further. You'd have to get down a little ways to get the next guy. Ozuna's probably the next guy that would be eligible for only DH that you'd be looking at drafting. But he would be a little ways down the list, needless to say, from there as well. We have been ranking players all year long, and I was looking through my rankings this week and trying to figure out if I would change any from back when we started. We started off with starting pitchers, and my tier one was Strider, Cole, and Burns. Tier two, Gallen, Castillo, Lopez, and Wheeler. Tier three, Nola, Gausman, Kirby. Tier four, Glasnow, Skubal, Peralta, Cease, Snell, Valdez, and Webb. I like those tiers. I'm not going to change those tiers. I think Strider and Cole are your first round pitchers. I think Burns is a bottom of the first, but probably more likely into the second pitcher. Gallen, I think you can really bottom half of the second round is where you start to see a little bit of value. And then into the third round, Castillo, Lopez, Wheeler, and so on and so forth. So I like those starting pitcher tiers. I don't know, Kevin, where he's at on his tiers, as far as if he would change anything that he has. We are very similar in a lot of the things there. But anyways, I like that. On to catcher. We went to catcher next. Adley Rutschman, my only tier one catcher. And I think he is still the only tier one catcher. With Will Smith, William Contreras, Jonah Heim, and Keibert Ruiz were my tier two guys. Now, Heim and Ruiz, you can look at and maybe even question right off the bat. But the reality is you go look at their fantasy numbers, that's where they belong. That's where they scored last year, and we expect both of them to take a small step forward this year. Tier three then is Realmuto, Murphy, Contreras, Wilson Contreras in tier three. I would move Sean Murphy up to tier two. I had him in tier three originally, but I believe he should be up into tier number two. And then tier four is Yonier Diaz, Salvador Perez, Cal Raleigh, Mitch Garver, Gabriel Moreno, and Francisco Alvarez, who's had a good start to his spring. But I'd still probably put him down there. I might put Alvarez up to the top of tier four. But at this point, I'd still put him behind those other guys. We moved on to first base after that. Freeman and Olson, the only two in tier one for me. Harper, Alonso, Guerrero, and Walker all in tier two. Goldschmidt, Bellinger, and Diaz in tier three. Spencer Steer, Tristan Casas, Vinny Pasquantino, Spencer Torkelson, Josh Naylor in tier four. I would drop Naylor out of that tier completely. I don't think Naylor's a guy that I'm looking at adding to my team this year. As a matter of fact, I think he loses his job at some point this year. So I'll drop him out completely. Bellinger in tier three, I'll leave him there for now. It's hard to say what kind of year he's going to have. I think top of tier three is a good spot for him. Christian Walker, watch out. I mean, he's breakout's not the right word because he has been so consistent. He'll continue to be consistent. Him there in tier two, I think, is fitting, and I like it there as well. Second base, Mookie Betts, Marcus Semien are my tier one guys. Albies, Altuve, and I have Jackson Holliday in tier number two, which was an overreach. At this point, we really just don't know enough about him. I'll probably still draft him like a tier two second baseman, but the reality is he's got to earn a little bit of that ranking at some point in time as well. Tier three was Ketel Marte, Nico Horner, Luis Arraez, Xander Bogaerts, and Matt McClain, followed by Ha-Seong Kim, Gleyber Torres, Bryson Stott, and Jeff McNeil. McNeil probably deserves to be a little higher on the list than I have him. The reality is I just don't draft Jeff McNeil, and so I don't value him very much. He's probably deserving to go a little bit higher there than what I've got him listed at. Matt McClain, I got in tier three. I like him there. I think I've been high on some of these Cincinnati fantasy guys and low on the Reds as a whole. But I think there's value for Matt McClain. I think there's value for Spencer Steer, who we'll talk about here in a second. There's plenty of value around for those guys. Third base tiers, we kicked off with tier one, Jose Ramirez, Austin Riley, and Alex Bregman. I like all those guys sitting there. Tier number two, I've got Spencer Steer, Rafael Devers, Gunnar Henderson. I'm a huge Gunnar Henderson guy. Move him to the top of tier number two. Drop Spencer Steer down into tier number three, although I like him. I think I'll drop him down. Tier three, I've got Machado, Arenado, and Paredes. Machado's the big question mark for me this year at third base. He was good still last year fantasy-wise, but does he take a step backwards this year, or does he maintain where he was? Nolan Arenado, again, he's going to be consistent, but I still like those guys down at tier number three. In tier four, I had Royce Lewis, Ha-Seong Kim, Max Muncy. I would drop Muncy out of that completely, and I would bump Royce Lewis up to tier three and ahead of Isaac Paredes from Tampa. Tier five, I had Ellie De La Cruz and Alec Bohm. De La Cruz is just a big question mark. Again, he strikes out a lot. So what kind of year does he have? We don't know yet. So, you can bump him up to tier four, and I wouldn't argue with you, but I'm going to leave him there in tier number five. Shortstops, I had zero shortstops in tier number one. I don't think there's a first-round shortstop this year. But in tier two, I think there's really good shortstops. Corey Seager, Francisco Lindor, Bobby Witt Jr., and Trey Turner. I'd be happy with any of those guys. And would be more than comfortable than to take those guys in round number two as well. Tier three, Gunnar Henderson, Bo Bichette, and Nico Horner. Again, I'm just really high on Henderson. Bichette may earn a spot above Henderson, but I would draft Henderson over Bichette. Tier four, I got Bogaerts and Matt McClain. Tier five, Ellie De La Cruz, Willy Adames, and Ha-Seong Kim. Ha-Seong Kim gives you that versatility. Ellie De La Cruz gives you a little bit of versatility at shortstop and third base. Which is nice as well. Then the outfield is where we come to today. We'll get to that later on in this program, so stick around for that. This opening segment we like to call the Fantasy Burner is presented by SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com to get all of your ticket needs. And when you go to check out at SeatGeek.com, make sure you click on the promo code and type in BellyUpSports. If you do, you're going to get $20 off your purchase there at SeatGeek.com. And the code again, BellyUpSports. That's our Fantasy Burner segment. Coming up next is our call to the pen. But first, a quick word from Righteous Felon Jerky.
Say hello to America's most wanted craft beef jerky. Over 15 flavors with all kinds of character. The number one jerky gift box and all natural black Angus quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Taste the flavor revolution at RighteousFelon.com. Use the promo code STOVE15 at checkout. That's RighteousFelon.com. Promo code STOVE15 at checkout.
Welcome back into the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. It is now time for the segment we call the Call to the Pen. Our Call to the Pen is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Every single purchase that you make, you will not regret it. I absolutely love Righteous Felon Jerky. I've got some of my favorite flavors right behind me here. I love the bootleg and barbecue, the Soul Survivor, the Foul Capone, the Bourbon Franklin. There are so many good flavors. You will absolutely love Righteous Felon Jerky. Check it out at RighteousFelon.com and use the code STOVE15 at checkout, and you're going to get 15% off your purchase. All right, today for the call to the pen, we're talking Major League Baseball news. Joey Votto is back in the league, signing a minor league deal with Toronto, an opportunity to go play and earn his way onto the roster there in Toronto, his hometown, by the way. And, you know, it's interesting. I thought Votto could be a good landing spot at several different ball clubs. I think you give this guy an opportunity to DH, maybe fill in at first base here and there. He's not been at his best as of late. But again, I think getting him out, change of scenery, all that kind of stuff is a positive thing for him. And we'll see exactly how it goes for Joey Votto in the Toronto system, and can we see him regularly this season? We'll find out soon enough. On top of that, Jackson Holliday, who we talked about earlier in the rankings, he hit a grand slam, his first home run of spring training, drilled it to right field. Listen, this kid is going to be, I think, on the opening day roster. I think he's going to be playing a lot of baseball. Where do you rank him fantasy-wise is a question mark. If you're in a dynasty or keeper league, you're taking him early. If you are, you know, in a standard league, you got to figure out what you want. Do you want to win? Do you want to dominate? Do you want to have the one seed? All of those kinds of things matter when you're talking about drafting Holliday and where you draft him at. He could be drafted at a lot of different places. I think some leagues, my guess is you're going to see leagues of him going around fifth or sixth round. Has he warranted that yet? I would say no, he has not. But that, you know, what do you do? I mean, some people like the young guys. They want to see what he can do. They want to see if he can be the guy in Baltimore that kind of just takes over and runs things there for the future. Obviously, he's got a bright future in Baltimore. So we'll see where it all shakes out. You got, like I said, you kind of got to figure out where you want him at. He is right now, his average draft position on ESPN says 225, but I promise you he's not going to be there at 225. The closer we get to the season, closer your draft is to opening day, he's just not going to be there then. I think we're going to see him go, I think on average 12th round or above, but we'll see. I could be completely wrong on this. I like prospects. I like the opportunity to draft young guys and have them on the team for a while, you know, throughout the season to kind of catch them when they're hot before their value just spikes to where they're unaffordable. So I don't know. We'll see where it shakes out. I know that me and Kevin have differing opinions on when you should draft Holliday. I think if he's going to be on the opening day roster, I don't see why you don't go out and get him. Why not take a shot at him and see what he can offer to the team as well. So we'll see how that one shakes out for Baltimore this year. And listen, Baltimore has just an absolutely loaded roster. At the end of the day, you sit here and you watch this team. You know, I look at all baseball teams as fantasy baseball teams. So how can you find people that you like, you know, and I find myself collecting Orioles. Adley Rutschman, the top catcher. Gunnar Henderson, I am huge on. I think he's a top five, top six guy at third base, a top five guy at shortstop. Cedric Mullins has really a lot less value this year than he's had in the past. Health is definitely an issue with that, but he's a guy that has some fantasy relevance. Jackson Holliday comes in now. You've got Santander. You've got Mountcastle has his moments. Westberg, again, the question is how much is he going to play? Is he going to have, you know, everything that it just depends. Right now, he's not being rostered very much on ESPN leagues. He's eligible at second and third base, but the playing time is the question. And that playing time is the same thing as you have with Jackson Holliday. Who's going to get that playing time? You know, I think they're both going to get enough time, but we'll see. We'll see how they go. Then you go to the pitching side of things, and you've got, of course, Corbin Burnes, the brand new ace there in Baltimore. But Grayson Rodriguez, this is a kid, and he's getting drafted everywhere. But this is a kid who, again, has so much potential. His ADP right now is 78.5. I think he goes right there, 6th, 7th, 8th round, and I think he should go there as well. Then you got relief pitchers, Craig Kimbrel. You know, a lot of people think he's going to hold that closer role, and he probably gets the first chance, but Yunir Cano is going to be there. If you have a league that has holds like ours does, he's a draftable guy. But you just look at this team non-fantasy-wise, they've got a good bullpen. They've got a solid pitching rotation. It's not perfect, but it is solid. And then again, their offense is going to be really, really good this year as well. And they still have more young guys to bring up and have fun with as well. So a lot going on in the Baltimore organization right now. A lot of things to be excited about. Another team that I look at where you look at just things that have changed, but not drastically necessarily, but the additions that they've made have been so good. And that is the Houston Astros. Again, you've got your mainstays, Tucker, Alvarez, Altuve, Bregman. Then you've got Diaz at catcher. You've got guys like Mauricio Dubon, who's a really good ball player and can play all over the field. Pitching-wise, they got Valdez. Brown is really good. Javier can have his moments. When Verlander's healthy, he will contribute as well. And then again, you've got a bullpen, especially at the back end with Hader and Presley. You've got people who can do some damage and be effective there as well. So I like what Houston has done in the offseason. Atlanta may have been one of the most improved teams of the offseason. And again, they didn't do a ton of things. But when you look at this team and what they're able to bring back, and Acuna, Olsen, Albies, Riley, Harris, Azuña, Murphy, and then they bring in Kelenic, which you've got to say, and you've got to say, can he finally find his potential? Because to this point in his career, he has not. But we all know it's there. We've all seen it in other places. So what will it look like this year? And then again, you go to the pitching side. Strider leads the way. Fried is there as well. Chris Sale comes over. Morton has been around, it seems like, forever. Iglesias there out of the bullpen. Minter in the bullpen as well. This is a team that is ready to make some waves. Again, they're just not going away, which is annoying. Then you've got a team that most people will look at and go, okay, well, they stink. And if you listen to my show last Wednesday, you'll understand that I think that they're not going to be great again this year. But the Kansas City Royals have done some things as well. And the people in place are talented. And if they're healthy, good things can happen. Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino. Perez is aging. I'm not a Perez fan. But again, as a DH, I think there's a lot of potential, even as a first baseman. A lot of contribution there from them. MJ Melendez was horrible last year. Will he be horrible again this year? We're yet to find out. Hunter Renfro comes over. I really love the third baseman, Mikael Garcia, in Kansas City. He's got more than likely going to bat leadoff in this lineup, which gives him a ton of opportunities. And even though his rookie year wasn't what many thought it could be, I think you have to understand this kid has a lot of upside. I really like what Kansas City's doing. I love Cole Reagans, their pitcher. He's being ADP right now, 130 to 131. There's a ton of value there for Cole Reagans. I think that's a guy you got to look for. They got Seth Lugo that came over. They've got Michael Wacha that came over. Brady Singer's still there as well. So there's a lot of good things happening there also. And I think those are things you got to look out for throughout this season, and just be ready for you know, what comes along with these teams. Don't count teams out because of how bad they were last year. We've said it over and over and over again. Surely they can't be as bad as they were last year. And I don't anticipate that very many teams outside of Oakland are going to be as bad as they were last year. I think we're going to see a lot of improvement throughout the league. That's our Call to the Pens segment. Up next is the segment you've all been waiting for. And guess what? We got a friend that's going to join us. Here is our Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports. Articles on fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy hockey, fantasy baseball, and so much more. It's also the place where you can find all of the articles from our co-host, who has now arrived. He is the senior fantasy writer for BellyUpFantasySports.com. He bats cleanup on this show, and today he is also coming in as the relief pitcher. He's the one and only Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing, man?
I am doing great now. I'm free from the shackles that is work. And so I'm ready to join in on the baseball discussion because baseball is what it is.
Baseball is what it is. We are ranking outfielders today, Kevin. We are to the finale of our player rankings, and we might go back and recap some of the things I talked about earlier in the show once we get through these rankings for outfielders. But we've made it. We've made it this far. We've gotten to where we need to get to, and I'm intrigued, as I have been almost every week. I think there's been one week where I thought, I think I know where he's going. Outfielders is a big question mark. There's, of course, a lot of players in the pool. So I'm intrigued to go see where we go with this. Let's start, though, with tier number uno. I'm guessing you have a shortstop in this tier, but let's start off with tier one, outfielders. And what do you have?
Well, actually, I don't have a shortstop in this tier because I've got one player.
Okay.
In this tier who stands head and shoulders over everybody else. And also, we got the word that because there was some injury scare with him. But, you know, Mike Brown, you can go ahead and you can relax because he's got the number one overall pick in our draft. And he is going to be fine for opening day. And if he is fine, and he is, to me, the clear number one option when it comes to outfielders or anywhere else, actually, he's the number one player in fantasy and real baseball. And so whatever are you looking for from a guy, you know, he scores runs, he homers, he steals bases at a phenomenal clip. And we've got a lot of talented outfielders, as you mentioned, but he is head and shoulders over everybody else in the game. And so he takes up a whole tier all by himself, in my estimation.
Interesting. I understand what you're doing with it. The way that I do my tier is basically, if you're a first rounder, you're a tier one guy in my book. And so while Ronald Acuna is at the top of my tier, and I don't question anything that you just said, I do have Betts and Soto in my tier one as well, because I think those guys are first round guys that I'd be more than happy to have at any spot in my draft. Obviously Acuna won. And then after that, if you take Betts or Soto too, I don't blame you. If you take them and they fall to you at five, you're excited about it. If they fall to you at eight,
I'm ecstatic.
You're messing your pants and you're running around thinking I've joined a league full of idiots. But nonetheless, I think those are the three first round guys, in my opinion, Acuna, Betts, and Soto. And again, Betts, he's going to play shortstop this year. He'll have second base eligibility as well. There's a lot of value in Mookie Betts again this year. And Juan Soto, we've talked a lot about him, Kevin. We both think he's due to break out again this year and have a really, really solid season with the Yankees. In my opinion, Acuna, Betts, and Soto go right up there with Strider and Cole as the top five picks in any fantasy baseball draft. And I know some people would argue there'd be someone else that belongs there. In my opinion, it's those five guys.
And I would certainly not disagree with anything that you just said. I just have Acuna in his own, you know, he's at the spear. But the guys that you mentioned, Betts and Soto.
Yep.
I had Soto going second pretty much this whole time. Hold on one second.
Can you answer this?
I will say this, friends, right. As Kevin's doing this real quick.
But Soto has been the number two guy this whole time. But with the announcement on Friday that Betts was going to be the starting shortstop, changes the whole outlook of this whole thing, because now he's got second, he's got short, he's got outfield. He is the number two guy in any draft. Doesn't matter what the status is, what kind of draft it is. He's number two to me. And although if he did take Soto, I wouldn't give you a hard time about it. But Betts is the guy, and he's creeping right up on Acuna with this announcement. But so he's number two, and Soto's number three. And I think that is where I'm going to rank him until draft day.
If you're in a league that has more than 10 players and you don't have someone who has the team name of Acuna, Matata, seriously, what are we doing? I mean, it's a name that needs to be in every league. Okay, so do you have Betts and Soto as your tier two guys?
I do.
Okay.
And there's just a little, a line that separates, tier one and tier two. But these two guys, as you mentioned, are both easily top two, three players. And so they are at the top of the rest of the outfielders. And so these guys are clear number two tier guys to me. And I'll be excited to have any of them, to be quite honest with you.
Right, right. So I'm going to guess that my tier two and your tier three are going to match up somewhat similarly, I would assume. But we'll find out. My tier two guys are Kyle Tucker, who, again, I don't draft Kyle Tucker, but he deserves to be there. And I don't have great reasons for why I don't like Kyle Tucker. I just don't. I'm not drafting him. So Kyle Tucker, Corbin Carroll from Arizona. I saw Corbin Carroll compared to Acuna in the sense of saying the potential that he has. Not necessarily for this year to match Acuna, but he is a guy that over the next coming seasons is going to continue to climb towards the top. He's going to give you every category. Give you lots of potential. And I love Corbin Carroll. Had him last year in a league. I love him there. Fernando Tatis and Aaron Judge round out my tier two. I am a huge Tatis guy, and I'm not a huge San Diego guy, but I am a huge Tatis guy. And with him healthy and with him not on PEDs and with him not suspended, him for a full season, him not playing as much in a spot where he's going to get hurt easily, I like Tatis as high as tier number two with Tucker, Carroll, and Judge.
One second.
Okay.
I did not.
He's speechless. He doesn't know what to do with that tier.
All right. So, all right. No, I know what to do. And those are excellent guys that you have. But I have someone that you're going to find very surprising in my tier three at the top is Julio Rodriguez to me.
Okay.
Because I would like someone to please explain to me how in the world is he number 36 overall on ESPN. I have not understood that from the very start of the year. And they have not changed that ranking one iota. And so he is one of the top. He's young. And let's see, he's only 23 years old, but yet he's already a 30-30 player. And I'm very high on Julio Rodriguez and for what he's done and what he's capable of doing. So I've got him at the top of my tier three. Then I've got Kyle Tucker, and I was kind of on the same wavelength as you, but when I looked at his numbers, they're solid. Yeah. He drove in 112 runs. That's the league high in the American League last year. And so,
and he's in a good lineup and he's in a good spot in the lineup.
Taking him at number five.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
And so I've got him in this tier. a lot less begrudgingly than I would have done it before I started my research onto this. And then I've got Corbin Carroll, who mirrors Julio Rodriguez quite a bit, because he's got the speed.
You're right.
And he's got the power, and he's 23 as well. So you talk about, you got 23, Kyle Tucker is the old man at 27, and then you've got another 23-year-old.
Yeah.
So what's not to like here?
I don't argue with you on Julio Rodriguez. He was the seventh scoring outfielder last year in ESPN points leagues. He was, of course, above Aaron Judge, who missed time. He was above Tatis, who missed time. He was solid. He was over 400 points. Very, very solid player. Let's see here. Let's pull up some things real quick. 37 stolen bases. If you're in a categories league, you're eating that up. You're eating that up in a points league too, of course. Over 100 RBIs, 32 home runs. The 175 strikeouts is what dropped him for me down to tier. Now, he is the top of my tier three also, which I haven't gotten there yet. But that being said, I don't argue with you. I got him very similarly. I just have him behind Carroll, Tatis, Judge, and Tucker. But I have them very, very close.
Well, I get what you're saying about the 175 strikeouts. That's way too high. But, you know, that's the way baseball is played now.
True.
And so in points leagues, that may explain why ESPN has dropped him a little bit. Because 175 negative points, that's a lot to make up. But like I said, he's young.
Yeah.
And so I think he can correct that. And so if you look at his, it's 24.5%. His K rate is 24.5. That's not way over the top.
Sure.
So I'm solid on all three of these guys. And so if you've coming up on the back end of the first round, and any of these guys would make me happy if I took them.
Okay. I can live with that. I have another challenge for you, but I'm going to wait and see where you tier somebody else who has very similar numbers. And okay. If you tier him properly, then I won't argue with you anymore on Julio Rodriguez. In my tier three, I do have Julio Rodriguez. I have Jordan Alvarez and Cody Bellinger all in this tier as well. I really think outfielder is incredibly deep. I think if you give me two of the top of my top 10 outfielders, I'm pretty happy. I mean, I really like the top 10 of outfielders right here.
Right. And so I'm right there with you. I've got Yordan Alvarez in my next tier. And the only thing that keeps me from moving him up, 114 games. That's the fewest of any of these guys that we're talking about right now. And he only had 120 hits, but 114 games or how many hits you're going to get. But if he could play a whole season, because he had 31 homers in 114 games, if he play 150, he might have 50 homers.
Right.
But he didn't, when you look at this, his K rate is outstanding. It's 18%. So I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And one player that you did not mention, that I didn't hear you mention thus far, is Aaron Judge. I've got him in this tier. Okay. All right. So I've got him in this tier, and hopefully he will keep his big foot out of fences this coming season, because that's the only thing that knocked him out last year. It wasn't true. Because, you know, he tweaked a hammy or any of that. He ran into a fence. And so that dropped him to 106 games, but he still hit 37 home runs. So you put him, you know, we all know what he's capable of, because he only hit 62, right, the year before.
Yeah.
So I see him and Soto being a murderer's row, literally, in that New York Yankees batting order. I like that a lot. So I've got him, and I've got Fernando Tatis here as well. He's not suspended, as you mentioned. And so, but even though he missed 20 games, but he didn't miss any games after he got in the lineup. He played 141 games.
Right.
So, and hit 25 home runs. Let's see. It's all right here. 22% K rate. That's not terrible. And so I like him. Not, I kind of have to wash my mouth out because I'm not supposed to like San Diego Padres. All right. But I think, as you we've talked about, they can't be as bad. Can't. Even without Soto.
Right.
So yeah, I think that.
I think San Diego's a sneaky team to watch this year because they don't have the expectations that they've had in the past. And I think, I mean, they're not going to be great. I wouldn't call them World Series contenders, but I think they're going to be better than a lot of people are giving them credit for, at the very least, especially
fans. I do as well. And, you know, because you got the Dodgers, of course, in that, and you got the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see what they come up with, you know, because they're the defending NL champions.
Yeah.
But I think San Diego can battle with them pretty evenly. So I'm interested to see what happens with the NL West race. And so if you happen to get Fernando Tatis is at 29. So you're going to have to jump pretty high to get him. But I think that's worth it.
I agree.
I would go and get him, San Diego Padre and all, and be happy with it.
All right. So I'm going to have to bust on your Julio Rodriguez, though, because you still have not mentioned the player that I'm going to bring up in my tier four, which essentially is your tier five line here. Okay. I call these guys the strikeout kings, but I still want them on my team. Kyle Schwarber from Philadelphia. You talk about a guy that strikes out a lot. He also gives you a ton of home runs, a ton of RBIs, a ton of walks. There's a lot that goes on for you there. He had 47 home runs. His value is still there, even though he strikes out a ton. I've got him leading off my tier four. Stephen Kwan does not strike out, but I've got him in my tier four also.
Okay, I have some words about him.
Okay, Adolis Garcia, Texas Rangers, another guy who is a power guy, 39 home runs, 107 RBIs, 175 strikeouts. He also had 9 steals, only got caught stealing one time last season. And his walk rate's not that great, 65 walks last year. But he gives you plenty of fantasy points because of the power that he gives you. And then I've also got Christian Yelich in tier number four. Last year, he came back to fantasy relevance. He did have 175 strikeouts. He had 140 strikeouts. I don't think he's going to bat leadoff this year. He has in the past couple seasons. I think you're going to see him at number two or number three in the lineup most of the time. With Craig Counsell gone, we'll wait and see where Christian Yelich lines up at in the lineup. But I've got Schwarber, Kwan, Garcia, and Yelich as my tier four guys, which, again, this kind of falls in line with your tier five guys. So give us your tier five. And then if you don't say what I want you to say, then I'll argue.
Okay. Well, actually, this is because I got one, two. Yep. Tier five, Kyle Schwarber leading the way. 7,000 strikeouts in all. But, you know, he walked 126 times.
Right.
So
his batting average was horrible, by the way.
Right. And he hit 197, but his on base percentage was 343.
Yeah.
So he gets on base. That's why they have him. Yeah, I've yet to understand how they have all these guys that strike out batting leadoff.
Right.
But if you have a 343 on base percentage, that explains that a lot. So I've got him here at the top of my tier five. Also, a couple of guys that you have not mentioned thus far. And that's Michael Harris of the Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
I've got him in this tier because he's 23. And he's got a lot of things going for him. And then a guy that I've read, and there are people that are high on him. Some people are like, I don't want him anywhere near my team, but I want him. And that's Randy Arozarena of the Tampa Bay Rays. I've got him in my tier five. And after that, we could talk about Luis Robert. We could talk about Brian Reynolds. That's pretty much where I cut off, you know, the tiers right there.
All right.
But I definitely have Brian Reynolds and Luis Robert behind the two guys I just mentioned.
So Adolis Garcia is not on you.
Is full and he's capable. So Adolis Garcia is in this.
In that tier.
Also, but he's so streaky. I've got him after a Rosarena as well.
So outside of his stolen bases, his numbers are almost identical to Julio Rodriguez. The only difference is stolen bases.
Well, you know, stolen bases in our league is points.
It is. So I believe Julio Rodriguez should be over Adolis Garcia. It's why I have Rodriguez in tier three versus tier two. I've got Garcia in tier four, so definitely below Rodriguez. That's why I don't put him as high as you do, Rodriguez in particular. We have Garcia ranked pretty much in the same area overall as well. I have Trout, by the way, in tier four too. I did not mention him.
And Trout's a guy I'm going to talk about as well.
Okay. In my tier five guys, I do have a Rosarena there. And I've got Spencer Steer there also as my only two guys in tier number five. But I want to come back to, who did you mention? Michael Harris. All right. Yes. So pop quiz. All right. You just have to guess.
Okay, here we go. All
right. You just have to guess. Where did Michael Harris rank points wise in fantasy baseball last season in the outfield?
Well, you bring on the power when you talk about trivia questions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say he was 21st.
All right. He was 32nd.
Okay. Now,
Michael Harris is a guy that I like. I'm in a keeper league, basically a dynasty league. We keep nine players. Or we can keep nine players. Michael Harris was retained in this keeper league. And I thought that's a little bold. He was kept by my dad, I believe, in this keeper league. I feel like he is too far down to be a keeper. I think it's, you need to move on from him. Now you've got him in your tier five. And that's fair enough. But I think him being on the Braves boosts his draft status, and him being young. And when he was a rookie, it was a popular guy to have on the team and things like that. I think Harris gets overdrafted. And I like him and I'd love to have him on my team. But not where he's going right now. To me, he's a little too pricey, in my opinion. And I think there's guys who actually score better. Just to give you some example, some of the guys who scored a little higher than him. You mentioned Reynolds, TJ Friedl from Cincinnati scored higher than him last year. McNeil, Robert, Springer, Yoshida in Boston, Castellanos, who did not have a good year last year. Scored higher than him. Gurriel, who neither of us would rank in our top five tiers. Verdugo, and so on and so forth. So, again, I like Harris better than some of those guys. Obviously, I'd rather him be on my team than a Castellanos or a Yoshida. Even than a Louis Robert, who has injury issues himself, although he's a phenomenal baseball player.
When he's on the field, he's top five talent.
He's high for sure. That being said, I don't have Harris in my top five tiers. He's a guy that I like and I don't mind having on my team, but he's a little lower for me. Just because, again, I think he gets overdrafted. If he played in Oakland, that's probably a bad example to use because
anybody plays in Oakland, you're buried. Yeah. So
if he played for, I don't know what's a good St. Louis, I don't think we would draft him as high as we do with him playing in Atlanta. So that being said, he'd still be in not too far off. I'm not trying to bash it too much. I do like him a lot. I think he gets overdrafted. So, but a Rosarena is an interesting one too. He kind of had a dip a couple years ago and he came back strong. That seems like that, the World Baseball Classic really boosted him. I had a good season last year and he's got the opportunity, I think, to do so again this year, for sure. You don't have Yelich in your top five either.
I do not, because he's a guy who you mentioned was down. He kind of peaked up a little bit last year. So maybe, you know, I don't like guys that are on this valley kind of, you know. And so I hope he's, you know, so I like him. I like him a lot. And so I hope he stays up on that trajectory. But it wouldn't surprise me if he went the other way.
And Cody Bellinger, was he on your list?
Well, we've talked about Cody Bellinger quite a bit. And since, you know, he's signed his deal, I'm going to go ahead and put him in this tier right here because he's got that first base. He's got that outfield, which I like. I'm trying to tread lightly because of the curse that you're calling down from on high.
Yes.
And so
I'm not calling it down. I'm just telling you it's coming. I'm not the one calling for the curse. I just know. I'm a preacher. I know what the baseball gods like and what they don't like. And they hate traitors. And Craig Counsell is a filthy, rotten, dirty traitor. And the baseball gods are going to repay him not so kindly this upcoming season. All right, let's get into the rest of these things.
Okay.
What are we at? We're at values.
So we're at values now.
Okay.
So I have I've got four values here.
Okay.
And leading the way is Lane Thomas of the Washington
Nationals.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I got him here. I was looking at this, and he plays on an awful baseball team, but hit 28 home runs. He played in 156 games, 146 the year before. And so I'd like to see him change this because I only walked 36 times. But other than that, he's got a 325 batting average, balls in play. So when he puts the ball, he hits it, good things happen. So I like him a lot, and he's 28 years old. And the best thing I like about this, because ESPN has him ranked at 160th overall. So a middle-round guy who has this kind of talent, thank you very much. I will do that every single day. I've got Spencer Steer here. I still don't understand how he's 143rd overall.
Right.
I would take him over a lot of guys way before that, just based on his availability. Riley Green is a guy I have here, and he's at 190. So as a later round pick, I think Detroit's going to be a lot better than they were a year ago. And 99 games, 11 home runs. So I think he can boost that up significantly. And then I've got your boy, Jackson Chirio of Milwaukee Brewers right here. And so just like we talked about Jackson Holliday, I think he's going to be Milwaukee Brewers starting lineup outfield. And if that happens, I think really good things going on right there. So if I can get him a little bit later, although I might be fighting you to do it, give me some Jackson Chirio, please.
All right, so I'm with you on Lane Thomas, by the way. I would take Lane Thomas over Harris, and here's why. First of all,
might do that too.
Yeah,
and you know why?
There,
because as far as value, because Michael Harris is ranked 69th. I'm not saying I'm drafting him in the sixth round. I'm not doing that. I like his talent, but not that much.
His ADP is 182. Last year, he hit 268, 28 home runs, 86 RBIs, 20 stolen bases. And listen, the Nationals aren't going to be good this year, but I think they're better. I think they're better than they were last year.
Well, they couldn't be any worse.
You would think so. Lane Thomas last year. All right, here you go. Baseball trivia. Fantasy baseball trivia, Kevin. Chris Harris was number 32 in points last year on outfielders. Where was Lane Thomas at in points and outfielders last year?
I'll say 26.
No, he was 16th overall and points scored for outfielders.
Okay, that makes it even more bewildering how he's 160th overall.
Exactly. So Lane Thomas, we both see him as a value. He's a guy, when you're going to get to him, you're going to be like, he's from Washington. I don't know that I want a national on my team. Lane Thomas. Now, last year, we were able to use him on the waiver wire. We picked him up. We dropped him. We used him when he was hot. We dropped him when he was cold and so on and so forth. I think this year he moves in the draft status. He needs to be drafted by someone and be on a team. He's going to be a solid outfielder. I've got Cedric Mullins on this list, too. I think he is forgotten.
Okay, I have some things to say about him.
I think he's forgotten. His ADP right now is 171. I love the value at 171. For Cedric Mullins, he is not a top tier outfielder anymore. He is not going to be the guy that you grab in the second, third round. But if you get him at 171, this Baltimore team is going to be good. You get him in that lineup. I love the value for Cedric Mullins this year. He's the kind of guy that you're going to be drafting and you're going to be in the late rounds, and he's going to be starting to creep up that tier where you're seeing his name all of a sudden show up on your screen. You're going to go, Cedric Mullins? What's he still doing here? It's round 20, and he's going to be a value at round 20, I think. And so, again, he's not a top-tier guy by any stretch of the imagination anymore, but I love where he's at right now. I love the value you can get for him. And the last guy that I've got at value is a guy that is currently basically not being drafted, is Luke Rayleigh in Seattle. Last year, he goes for 19 home runs, 14 stolen bases. He is, and he hit 249. He's eligible at first base and outfield. This is the kind of kid when you get to the end of the draft, if he's sitting there and available with the trade to Seattle, I think you take a swing on late in the draft as a guy who gives you a little bit of versatility and the position wise. And obviously you're getting him for pennies there at 259 is his ADP. So in most leagues, he's not even getting drafted. So he may be the waiver wire value to look for as the season starts up as well. But I like where they have him valued at, because you're not losing anything if you take a shot on Luke Rayleigh.
Okay. So that brings us to our cautions tier. And I've got Mike Trout leading the way in this one, unfortunately enough. I want to believe in him, right? And seeing as how he's going, like you said, you probably wouldn't let him go that far, but in drafts, he's going 11th, 12th round. So there's value to be had, but you just have to know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
The caution, guys, I'm not saying don't draft, but just be having your eyes open when you do it. I've got him. I've got Nolan Jones of Colorado here. And the reason why that is, okay, hit 30 home runs and all that, and that's really good. But then he hits the road, and it goes straight down the, you know, as most Colorado Rockies do. He doesn't hit on the road as well as he does at home. And if you have him on your team, you're going to have to put him in your lineup, whether he's home or, you know, presumably home or on the road. So know that Colorado's, you know, what's going on right there. And then I come to Stephen Kwan. You mentioned him earlier, and he is ranked number 58th overall on ESPN. And I don't understand the attraction here at all. He only hit 5 home runs. I know he had 171 hits, and he doesn't steal a lot of bases, and he doesn't strike out, which, okay, I'll give him that. But in none of the other parts of his game stand out to me. And to be at 58, I'm sorry, I'm not taking this guy in the 6th round or 5th round. It's not happening. And so maybe you can explain what the attraction is.
I can. So first of all, in a categories league, do not draft Stephen Kwan. I'm in a couple categories leagues. He just can't be on your team in a categories league. In a points league, however, although he's not great at anything, he is consistent at pretty much everything. Stephen Kwan, you ready for this? Kevin, you're not ready for this. He was the 10th overall outfielder in points last year. 10th. Top 10 fantasy baseball outfielder last season. And why
is that? That might explain a lot. I don't get it.
It's not because he hits a lot of home runs, but it's because he's on base. He doesn't strike out. You mentioned it earlier. He has average to below average RBIs. He's a 20-plus stolen base guy. He doesn't get caught stealing very often either. But he gets on base. He gets base hits. He does not strike out. There's where his points value comes. Now, would I take Stephen Kwan as my 10th outfielder? No, I would not. But I've got him up in that range. I think I've got him 13th, somewhere in that range, something like that. But only in points. If you're in a cat league, pass on Stephen Kwan. Let the Guardians fan in your league take him. I seem to remember him
bouncing like Luis Arraez at second base. In cat league, you don't want it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why he's ranked so high on ESPN, because he scores well in points leagues. But again, if you have a healthy Judge, well, then that drops him down to 11. If you have a full year of Tatis, that drops him down to 12. So on and so forth. So there, you know, last year there was some outliers, and Kwan to me in a points league, top 15, and a cat league, top 30. I'd be way down on him on a cat categories league. I think he might be the biggest movement between points and categories leagues of anybody that we've talked about thus far this year. All right. So that's generally all I got to talk about with the cautions. I don't have any cautions. I've got just really bad values.
Okay. I've got those as well.
All right. I'll start and then we'll let you give yours.
Okay. Cause I talked a whole lot. So you go ahead.
I've got Luis Robert.
However you pronounce it. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah. I've always called him Robert. So,
okay. So Luis, if you're watching the show, you know, shoot us an email.
Yeah,
let us know.
Come on the show.
How to pronounce your name? We appreciate it.
Listen, his ADP is 84. He's got a lot of power, but he has also a ton of strikeouts. He doesn't play a full season. I trust Mike Trout more than I trust him. And at the end of the day, let me say it this way: Mike Trout, who you put as a cautionary tale, I would like Mike Trout to be my third outfielder, not my second, and not my first. I'd like him to be my third outfielder. With Robert, I'm looking at third or fourth, similar to Trout as well, because he has the talent and he can put up points, but you just know you're not going to get a full season out of him. That being said, this year, as in the past, I've kind of wanted him and he's always been drafted too high for me. This year, I'm kind of off completely on him. I'm not sure that it's worth going for him this year. And then I have a second guy, and it's Brandon Nimmo. His ADP is at 112. He's got below average power. He's got below average RBIs, below average stolen bases. I don't understand why people always buy into Brandon Nimmo. So I'm out on those two guys.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned him, because he's a guy that I find very mysterious as well. And so, but leading the way, players I want nothing to do with, Giancarlo Stanton leads off.
Yeah.
He's got no place on a baseball team, real or fantasy, in my view. And then we've got the guys who you and I were both in on last year because they had catcher eligibility, which they no longer do. And that's MJ Melendez and Dalton Varsho.
Yeah.
And so when you look at this, Dalton Varsho was still ranked 161 on ESPN. Please stop the madness. I want nothing whatever to do with that. And MJ Melendez, you know, we both played footsie with him last year, and it didn't turn out well at all, even if he had that catcher eligibility, and he doesn't have it now. So he's got no fantasy appeal whatsoever.
So let me say this. If I don't end up with Varsho and Melendez in at least one league, like both of them on my team, at least one league, I'll be shocked. These guys, I don't know why. I can't explain it. There's no stats to go behind this. But if Varsho and Melendez are my 4 and 5 outfielder, I'll be going into the season thinking, oh, yeah, I got this. And I could be way wrong. But listen, I'm not taking them where they were valued last year. I'm not taking them as a top 3 outfielder. They have to be outfielder 4 and outfielder 5 in order for me to draft these guys. But I know anyone who had them last year is not going to draft them again this year. Melendez is probably undraftable. I mean, he's a guy that should be there in the second to last round, the last round.
Yeah, he's at 215th, which I think is still too high.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you got a Kansas City fan, that's where they go. Varsho's got more value.
I don't know. Are there any Kansas City fans? I don't know.
I know some. I know a handful of Kansas City fans.
Okay.
And, you know, they talk about the barbecue, but still, Varsho does have some value, I think. Melendez, I can understand being completely
out. Not at 161, he doesn't.
Not at 161. That is true. I think down in the 200 range is where you get my attention for Varsho. Because, again, I like their lineup. I like their team as a whole. And I think there's just that opportunity to get back on, maybe not to where he was expected to be last year, but at least get back up to where he's fantasy relevant at the very least again. Melendez, I don't blame anybody for not drafting Melendez. I know I'm going to be stupid and do it, but that's just the way I am. Varsho, on the other hand, I don't think it's stupid to draft Varsho. I think Varsho, but you do have to get him at the right range. And where he's currently at is not the right range. So I agree with you on that. Kevin, we've looked at earlier.
So,
oh, you got more?
Pretty much brings me to conclusion.
Okay.
I do not.
So, earlier before you came on, I went through my tiers and just looked at if there was anybody that I would change on my tiers. And I had a couple. Sean Murphy, I moved up a little bit from where I had him. Royce Lewis, I moved up a tier as well at third base from where I had him. I had him in tier four, bumped him up to tier number three. Is there anybody, when you look back at your rankings, you go, yeah, the more I've thought about it, that guy should either move up or move down?
Well, it's interesting that you should mention that because I realized that, you know, because we did catchers way back in the beginning.
Way back.
But I didn't post about my tiers on that, but I did it today and immediately got taken back behind the woodshed because of my enthusiasm over Salvador Perez.
Uh-huh.
I'm the only human being on the planet Earth who has any confidence in Salvador Perez whatsoever.
Correct.
But I'm moving him up still because he's catcher, he's DH, he's first base, he's going to be in the lineup a lot. I like him, and especially where he's going in the draft, I think he's a huge value. And so he's a guy that I value a lot. And when we talked about first base, we were both in on Christian Walker. But he shot up to the seventh round now in drafts. And I think that's about where he should be going, which saddens me because I wanted him later on in the draft.
Yeah.
And so he's been for a big, big season. I got him moving up. Tyler Glasnow was a guy that we were both pretty much down on. But he's, you know, it's early in camp, but he's looked great in camp. So I've got him. We mentioned Cody Bellinger. I've got him. I moved him up. And then Yu Darvish of the aforementioned San Diego Padres. He's looking good in camp. 9 strikeouts, no walks so far in spring. And so if I come away with him later on in the draft, I'm pretty happy.
Very nice. Yeah, so we've got our draft next week. So I've got 2 drafts actually next week. I've got our draft on Sunday, and I have I think I have 2 drafts on Sunday. I'm going to be drafting in 2 leagues while we're on air drafting.
Wow. Okay. So you got 2 devices going.
It's going to be wild, man. I joined a Yahoo league with some guys. I really don't like Yahoo.
I've tried it once and I really didn't get into it.
Yeah, they needed somebody, and I was
like, Yahoo, you know, good on you, but it's not big on me.
Yeah, so Sunday, no, you can't, buddy. I'm still doing a show. So on Sunday, I got 2 drafts, and then on Tuesday, I've got another draft next week, as well. That's a keeper league draft, so I've been looking ahead to all the things that I've got going on, and I've been looking to the deeper portions of the draft and starting to mark the guys that I'm really interested in. So I'm hoping that during our draft next year, I can land some of these guys and talk more about them then, because we have guys in our league who listen to this show, and I've got to be a little careful. I don't lie about anybody, for the record. I don't lie about any of the players, but there are some things I do hold back on until we draft. Yeah. And once we draft, then I can share, like last year, I mean, everybody had Mookie Betts in the first round, but I had him as a top 3 guy, and I was quiet on him because I wanted him to come to me. He didn't make it to me, and so at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. So I've got some guys like that this year that are a little bit later in the draft, middle of the draft. If I land them, we'll talk all about them during the draft, or if someone else drafts them, we'll talk about them, of course, during the draft too. And I've already mentioned this earlier in the show, but we'll be live 8 o'clock next week for the draft, and we'll bring on some of the guys from the league and gals from the league and talk to them about what they're thinking as they draft people, and why did you have that person that high, or are you surprised they fell to you at this spot, those kinds of things, and talk through some of that stuff next week. And it's a lot of fun. I enjoy that show. We'll post the audio version available on podcasts as well, and to me, it's a lot of fun. Hopefully you all enjoy it as well. And then we can kind of look at our rankings and see how close we were, at least to our league, because we've got weird people in our league, man. We've got a Rockies fan. We've got an A's fan. We've got a Guardians fan. We've got some weird people
at number two overall. So I'm interested to see what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we will see
whatever happens there is going to influence the whole rest of the draft.
We've got a guy who, if you haven't heard him yet, Brent, he's the host of the 1420. I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong. The 1420 podcast. He's a Yankees fan. He's a Canadian and knows his stuff, but he hasn't really done fantasy baseball much. And so he's going to jump back in with us and do the league this year. So excited to see how that's what's intriguing, I think, about the league is you got a wide variety of people who've done it a lot, people who haven't done it a lot, different teams, who they cheer for, all that kind of stuff. So it'll be a good learning experience for anyone listening and willing to put in the time. It takes a little bit of time, but I think it's good nonetheless. Kevin, you mentioned your article. I actually saw it pop up tonight or this afternoon about the catcher tiers. And I was like, catcher tiers? Like, we talked about that like 5 weeks ago. But your catcher tier article is up now on bellyupfantasysports.com. And I assume you're going to be posting an outfielder article at some point this week as well.
Well, that may or may not happen because this is my wife's birthday week. Hmm. And so I might, I posted that because of the catcher tiers. I already had it written. You know, we already talked about it. So I just kind of put it together. And but the good news is it's already has 10,000 views since I posted it. This afternoon.
Yeah, 12:30.
So it is tracking well. And even though there are some people who disagree, like I said, Salvador Perez are like, what are you talking about? You know, you'd submit yourself to drug analysis immediately and stuff. So but you know, I made the statement, you do the research and you have your guys and you go with your guys and you live with whatever happens.
Someone will be wrong, someone will be right.
That's right. So, but you know, at the point he's going specifically about him in a draft, then if it doesn't work out, it's not like if you drafted Adley Rutschman in the third round and it didn't work. That's a whole different scenario there. But so it's out there. But I may or may not have an article come out this week. We'll see about that. And I would be celebrating, you know, my wife over there. And like I said, go to the Belly Up Fantasy website right now. You can go to Reddit and go to the Fantasy Baseball subreddit if you want to do that as well and get in on the conversation and see if you can roast me as well. But so that's out there. And you can always talk at X or Twitter, whatever we're talking about, at Kevin62WILSEA.
Very good. Let's see here. So I do not have a show tomorrow night. Usually have the local hour on Mondays. I'm not doing one tomorrow night. And then my midweek show is probably going to get pushed to Thursday again this week. It got pushed to Thursday last week. And I've got a bonfire at church on Wednesday night. And I doubt I'm going to be home in time. So we're probably just going to push it to Thursday again this week. And me and Dad are, we've been covering Major League Baseball. We'll continue to do that. We're covering the East divisions this week. And then we've got NFL draft stuff, plenty of things to talk about, NFL news that's been going down this week. So we'll be talking about that as well on Wednesday or Thursday. And then again, next Sunday, we're right back here, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We might even start slightly earlier, about 7:55 or so, just to kind of have some introductory before the first pick kicks off. The draft will be live on ESPN. And so we are just going as we do it, try to keep you updated with what's going on. And again, have a lot of guests on during that show to talk about just draft philosophy, draft mindset, and things like that. The season starts on the 20th. I mean, we are 10 days away from opening day, right? Which is weird because it's not real opening day. It's fake opening day, but it counts.
Right.
So
it's on a different continent.
Yeah.
And a different time, you know.
Fake. But
I don't even know what time those games. Oh, I don't know if you mentioned, did you talk about the future games that are going to be going on in baseball? They're having 71 of the 100 prospects in baseball going up against each other, including Paul Skenes, or however you pronounce his name, versus Jackson Holliday. So that's going to be on the MLB Network. So you might want to take a look at that So that's one of the big announcements that happened in baseball this week.
Kevin, I have not announced this yet. I switched my mobile carrier, and I no longer get MLB TV for free. This is a painful thing.
Oh, no.
I cannot.
Oh, man, that would be like an elbow right to the chest.
Yeah, I cannot afford to pay that much for MLB TV. So I'm skimming my options.
Well, I don't have a paid prescription or whatever, you know, because I looked at, because they sent me a thing saying, hey, wouldn't you want to be a part of it? And it was like, it's only $29.99 a month.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's insane. I'm not doing that.
No, they will.
But
they've
got some games on the free version of MLB Network. So just be looking for that. It's going to be interesting. Jackson Holliday, Carrillo's going to be there.
Yeah.
White Langford, a whole bunch of players.
Cheaper subscription for radio only. And I love listening to baseball on the radio. So I might be doing that at some point. But yeah, I'm bummed though. It'll be a lot less baseball watching for me this year. Of course, Bally Sports.
Man, I would be really bummed if that happened.
Bally Sports. Kind of like no one knows what's going on.
Not quite, because the NFL Network was taken off of AT&T for a long time.
Yeah,
and so that wasn't happening.
It's sad. It's sad. But anyways, we've murmured on long enough.
Just need to throw out a word. I said I was going to throw out a word to my coworker, Baltimore. And he's an Oriole fan. So we talked about Adley Rutschman. We talked about Cedric Mullins. We talked about Jackson Holliday. So there's all the Baltimore Oriole references you could possibly have asked for.
And I hit on Gunnar Henderson before Kevin got here. So
okay, there you go.
Got in Burns and Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, I covered some Orioles before you came on.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, go check out bellyupfantasysports.com, SeatGeek.com, use the code bellyupsports, righteousfelon.com for all your jerky needs. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase. He's Kevin Wilson. I'm Vince Stover. Next week, we're doing a draft. But until then, we'll see you around the sports stove.
Have a great week.